Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast featuring Bonte Hill.
This baby Yama, all day, every day.
Oh, this is awesome.
Kate Scott.
She probably likes the tuna sandwiches from 7-Eleven. Oh.
And Joe Shesky.
I know I'm mediocre, but I'm going to give you the best effort I possibly can.
This is the Morning Roast, presented by Timeless Coffee on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, baby, the band is back. The band is back. Shasky's back in the saddle after a nice long vacation. Kate's here. I'm here. We got Joe Staley joining us in about 9 minutes. Former 49er after 13 seasons as the franchise left tackle. He's going to join us to talk about Patrick Willis, what he was doing with Kyle Shanahan on the 4th of July, and how retirement is treating him. But Shasky, man, good to have you back.
What's up, dude? I mean, geez, what's up, Kate? How you guys doing?
We missed you. It's good to see you. I heard before we came on air, Bonte, that Joe might have been a little bit friendly with a four-letter girl that he said that he wasn't ever going to hang out with again.
Dude, your boy.
Having some fun with some wine, which let us know a number of weeks ago he had never had until he went golfing. And he had a little too much, understandably, like a lot of college freshmen do the first time they have wine. And he partook in a bit more.
Yeah.
And he's still here. I'm proud of him.
Well, you know, I forgot my big bottle of tequila because now I realize why I love tequila so much. Because one shot, and you're good for quite some time. Even if you go to two, like, it's a very clean situation. You don't have to imbibe a lot of stuff, right? There's not a lot of liquid involved in it. And it hits the point. It gets right to where I want to be. You know what I'm saying? And the hangovers are so much better. Like, a.k.a. there is none. And so, yeah, your boy had about...
It depends how much you drink.
Well, I mean, again, your boy had like three glasses of Chardonnay, and the next day, I don't know why, I could not shake it. Now, again, I was in the heat, so it was like 85, 90 degrees, and I almost passed out golfing. Like, I'm not even kidding you. I'm carrying my clubs, and it was like 90-something degrees. I had my big sun hat on, and I almost fell down. It was brutal. Your boy is yeah, I'm soft. S-O-F-T.
Tried to tell him, Bonte. I tried to tell him that at this age, that can be one of the worst hangovers, and he's now joining the party, apparently.
Yeah, Chardonnay hangovers are no joke, but tequila can give you some hangovers, red wine. I'm glad you're starting to venture into wine, though, because now you're becoming a big boy.
Oh.
You know, anybody can do the 1942, go behind the counter with the Don Julio. It's levels to this. When you get to the red wine, you get to the Pinots and whatnot, that's when the Bordeaux's, and I'm like, all right, there you go, Shasky. Now you're starting to grow up just a little bit.
So I'm like Boss Baby, all right? What is the new Boss Baby movie called? Boss Baby Becomes a Man?
Oh, no.
Or something like that?
Did you guys see the first one? I don't want to see the second one. That is not going to be a better Kate than ever. That's going to be off the table forever, Bonte.
Well, yeah, Boss Baby? Yeah, I'm not doing that.
I'm going to be real. So there's a lot of stuff that happened since I've been off, and this is the longest I've been off since starting in radio. But the thing that came out that I am so fired up for, oh, my God, this Sopranos prequel. Oh, my God. God, are you injected into my veins right now? Gandolfini's son, Ray Liotta as Chris's grandfather. Like, I probably watched the preview. I'm not kidding you. 16, 17 times already.
Only did it once. But I said to myself, now I have an excuse to watch The Sopranos over.
Oh,
I've been looking for
ever.
An excuse to watch The Sopranos
best
over, and I'm like, you know, I don't know if it's the best show ever. It's top five. but it is phenomenal. And the prequel will be great. Prequel, I thought you were going to go jerseys.
That's
throwback
I,
jerseys
oh, that's
for the 49ers.
What I was going to say, too.
Right, the prequel, The Sopranos, threw before Luke there.
I've got about 17 different things in sports, but I just wanted to start there with some of the movie things that are out there. And regarding Sopranos, this is the great part about Sopranos. Some things you watch back and you're like, why did I like this as much as I did back in the day? You watch Sopranos, and like a great bottle of wine, it gets better with age. Mm. And I'm telling you, the more seasoned you become in your life with the different family dynamics that you have in place, you start to appreciate when a mother puts a hit out on a son. You start to appreciate the dynamic between Uncle Junior, who's a punk, and Tony Soprano. You start to really, truly hate both of the children, and you get mad that Meadow, the angel, wasn't there to protect her father in the final episode.
Yeah, who knows what happens in that final episode as it fades to black. Spoiler alert, it fades to black. But Sopranos, I got it right behind The Wire, right behind Breaking Bad. But it's no knock. It's in the Mount Rushmore of shows. There's no doubt about that. But Joe Staley, he's in the Mount Rushmore of offensive linemen for the 49ers. He's going to be with us in about 4.5 minutes, actually, here early on the West Coast, 6:15 on the Morning Roast. And we're going to get to Patrick Willis, because Patrick Willis, while we were out, he was on the Morning Roast.
I know.
He was on the Morning Roast, and he's going to get inducted into the 49ers Hall of Fame. I will be angry if we don't get John Taylor, because that's what I'm excited about. Well, I love P. Willis, but John Taylor's going to the 49ers Hall of Fame as well.
We're
going
to get into the Willis stuff. I'm wearing my Willis jersey today, but the thing that happened over the weekend was just iconic. I mean, Kyle Shanahan hanging out with Joe Staley. It looks like they're down in San Diego. I'm assuming it's San Diego. And it looks like Kyle Shanahan, he's got the beer bod going. He's just chilling. He's got, you know, a lot of facial hair like I do this morning, even though I need to go shave.
Yeah, facial hair?
Well, a little bit.
It's more like peach fuzz.
A little bit. Just a little bit. I need to shave really bad. I couldn't
like
find the razor.
It's not facial hair.
Let him have it.
So Kyle Shanahan in his Milan hat decides to throw from one rooftop onto another, and I'm not sure if it went into a toaster, a microwave, an oven. It went into something, and he nailed it. It was awesome. I mean, it was absolutely awesome, and Joe Staley was there, so I can't wait to ask him about QB1, a.k.a. Head Coach 1, a.k.a. Kyle Shanahan.
Was Shanahan trying to recruit Staley to come back to the 49ers? What was going on there?
I take him back.
Is he going to be coaching sometime soon? Ooh. I mean, that's always the next question, right? What do guys want to do in their post-playing career? I love the fact that Joe has given himself a little bit of time, because I think a lot of folks, understandably, all of a sudden you're without that competitive thing that has kept you going the entirety of your life so far, and you feel a huge loss. We hear this from so many athletes, right? So sometimes they do dive too quickly either into broadcasting or into coaching or something. So I love that he's given himself some time. He's been individually coaching guys. But what if you could get Joe Staley back coaching up your offensive linemen, man?
See, I was thinking this. He played tight end at Central Michigan when he first got on campus.
True.
Wouldn't it be tight end number two? You lost 50 pounds, Joe. You lost 50 pounds. You look like you're in great shape. I know you got great hands. You want to come back and play about 20 snaps as a tight end number two? No, I'm kidding.
He's only 36, Fonte.
He's only 36. Come on now, Shasky.
I mean, come on. I know. What are we doing?
We saw what the year off did for Buster Posey. Just saying.
Yeah, well, man, Buster. I mean, you're talking about an injury that's important right now. I mean, they need to figure out what they're doing here. Kirk Casale, God bless him. The guy can't hit his way out of a wet paper bag.
We get Joey Bart, please. Joey Bart on line one. Joey Bart on line two. Joey Bart on line three.
Speaking of guys getting up to the age of 36, are we going to see Joey Bart before he turns 36? Jesus.
I would take Joey Bart wearing those new hideous Giants uniforms with the fog, and he go to game bridge on the sleeve. And look at the Giants. They're smart. I will give them this. They are geniuses to get Larry June, one of Frisco's finest rappers, who's ascending here in the Bay Area. Larry June got him wearing a jersey. You got Pilo wearing a jersey. You got all these famous icons wearing a jersey. You got Crook, and you got John Miller wearing the hoodies. Smarter than Giants, because there's going to be some suckers out there spending our money on these hideous, hideous jerseys. And Peter Harlob from the Chronicle had the perfect tweet. These are the San Fran of jerseys. These are the San Fran of jerseys. So we can get all to that.
I've got lots of thoughts.
Yeah, I know you do. I could see the braids stewing there, Sasuke. I could see you.
Oh, I mean, it looks like somebody created this on Adobe, like back in 1997. I mean, get out of here. You have a collection of unbelievable uniforms, and the PCL is rich with different outfits that you could rip from. You had an awesome Juneteenth Sea Lions jersey with a little cubby guy on it.
That's great.
And and you whiff on this. This was a bigger whiff than Miguel Cabrera in the World Series against Sergio Romo to send up the sweep.
Oh, I thought you were going Ryan Howard on me in 2010.
Wow. Look at you.
That's deep. That's deep, Kate. But Joe Staley, he'll be off because the Niners, not only are they going to induct Patrick Willis and John Taylor into the 49ers Hall of Fame, but they also got the red throwbacks coming back. We've been waiting on those. We've been waiting, Kate. The red throwbacks are back.
It was so hard not to have you guys here the day after those two things were announced. P. Willis and John Taylor going into the 49ers Hall of Fame, and it became officially official. Al Guido kind of alluded to it when we had Al on a number of weeks ago. So it was so hard for me not to call you guys up and FaceTime you into the show. So I'm glad that we're here today and going to get to talk about it with Joe Staley in moments.
Thought about calling the show. I'm surprised Joe Shasky didn't call the show. I thought about it. I really did. Up at Calistoga, chilling at the pool. And I'm seeing on Twitter, like, damn, the jerseys are back. And Guido, like you said, Kate, he kind of prefaced it by saying, yeah, we got some things in the works here. We kind of knew it was coming. It was coming. But, man, when they came out, I said, of course I take a vacation day the day the jerseys come out. Of course, when Patrick Willis and John Taylor gets inducted, we take some vacation days off. And poor Shask, I know he was losing his mind while listening to the show on vacation. I know you're listening, buddy.
I wasn't listening, but I was recording different stuff because I want to have a file of takes. Like, I'm Machiavelli. You know, Machiavelli, all of a sudden he dies, and then all these albums come out with all different original music. I mean, there's still stuff coming out to this day. Machiavelli's been dead for 30 years. That's what's going to happen. Shaskavelli, all the hot takes are coming out. Wait till you hear the Jersey talk later.
Well, the hot takes may come out in the next hour, Kate. I don't think he can wait on the hot takes
save
here.
Us, Joe Staley.
Shaskavelli. Shaskavelli here. From Shaskavelli to Joe Staley, the longtime 49er, 13 seasons with the 49ers. He played for only the 49ers.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's Joe Staley, a.k.a. The Joe Show. Joe, good morning. Welcome to the Morning Roast. Bonte, Kate Scott, Joe Shasky, the Butcher Boy. First of all, what the hell are you doing up at 6:15 in the morning talking to us jabronis?
Exactly. I'm wearing the same thing.
Are you on the East Coast, West Coast? What's going on?
We had a week-long vacation with the family, so we got to go catch our flight. So we're out of the house at about 6:45. had to get my workout in, and now I'm talking to you guys.
That's pretty savage there. Pretty savage. And we also saw you with Kyle Shanahan the other day throwing footballs, trying to show off his arm once again. So how did that go down? How the hell did Joe Staley and Kyle Shanahan meet up for a holiday weekend?
Well, he's down here in the off season when he's not doing the football stuff up there. So he's down in Del Mar with his family, and we get together every few days. So he had a little thing for the 4th over at his area where he lives at. And, yeah, the funny thing about that video was the buildup, because Kyle was talking, like, for 5 minutes before that video about how he's going to hit it in that little pizza oven. And we're like, no, you're not. You're not going to do that. You know, there's no way you're going to hit it. And then his other buddy took that video, and first one, first take, and he didn't stop talking about it the rest of the
time. Should we really believe that, Joe? First throw, he made it all the way from one rooftop to another into the oven. First throw.
I'm on children's life.
Wow. That's saying something. All right, well, Joe, let's get into it. When we heard that Patrick Willis was going to be inducted into the 49ers Hall of Fame last week, you were one of the first guys we thought of. So what was your first reaction when you heard that Willis was getting into the 49ers? Did you think back to a certain moment you all had together? What was just your first thoughts when you heard that last week?
Well, I mean, first off, just incredibly well-deserved. Patrick, one of my all-time favorite guys I got to play with. There at the 49ers, and you know, for us to come in together, same draft class, and really just go through everything together, yeah, super well deserved. And you know, I think hopefully it's the start of many different Hall of Fames. You know, the big one. Kind of surprised that he's not in that one yet as well, just because of how dominant he was as a player when he played with us for those first, his first year, but our whole career together at the 49ers. So he's a great dude, and really happy. Thinking back on a story, I guess, like an individual story, I don't really have one. It's just the way that he competed every single day. He was a tremendous leader from day one when he got there. I mean, it was more of a, he got drafted and he just kind of took over. So I don't think there was a specific story that I can think back to. It was just like consistent, dominant play from day one.
Well, take me back to the beginning, because I remember going through the draft process. Adam Carriker, the Niners are linked to him from Nebraska. And there's a legendary story that Mike Singletary pounded the table for Patrick Willis. So he goes early in the first round, and then later in the first round, they trade back in and they select you. You meet him the first day at rookie camp. What was that like?
Yeah, I didn't really know anything about him, honestly. You know, I was from Central Michigan, and I think we got to play maybe that week during the Senior Bowl, but I didn't really know anything about Patrick, about how, you know, talented of a player he was and all that stuff. And then get to see him day one, rookie minicamp, I was like, you know, kind of blown away with, A, how fast, physical, and like everything, and just a leader and smart. And, you know, he kind of showed everybody how to get it done early on. So there was a... We had a cool draft class that year, and it was definitely spearheaded by Patrick.
You know, you said earlier that basically, you know, he was a leader from day one. And what's interesting is, like, when he first came in, I felt like he was kind of quiet. And maybe it was just in front of the media. And then he kind of evolved into more of a team leader that was more outspoken at the podium, but then also leading all the huddles. What was that evolution like?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's definitely different types. And I think Patrick was a guy that, you know, you see the clips of him playing on game day, and you see the fiery speech that he gave before games, and you see the way that he would kind of be, like, mic'd up and the way he would talk in that huddle. I mean, that's how he was on the football field and on the practice field and in the weight room and the meetings. And he was all football, very intense. You know, our personalities were a little bit different, where Patrick was, and I think he had said this about me when I retired, was like, you know, Joe showed me that you can do kind of both sides. You can, you know, have fun and let loose and be kind of, you know, fun-loving away from the game, and then also very serious when you're in it. You know, Patrick was very serious about all that stuff. So, I mean, it took a little bit for him to kind of warm up and show that side of, you know, I can have a little bit more fun while I'm doing this too. But he was, I mean, very intense leader, all football. He gave everything he had to it, and that was the evolution.
Joe Staley here on The Morning Roast with Kate Scott, Joe Shasky, the Butcher Boy, and Bonte Hill on 95.7 The Game. Joe Staley, of course, spent his entire career with the 49ers, 13 seasons in all, as a left tackle. And I'm looking at the photo right now of you and Willis when you guys got introduced to the Bay Area media. You with, of course, number 74, no facial hair, nice bright smile. Patrick Willis there with the number 52. When, you said you didn't know much about Patrick Willis, but when you did find out about the personal story of Patrick Willis and what he had to go through as a youngster going to Ole Miss, the family backstory, what did you then think of Patrick Willis when you found out all the other stuff that went behind his life and kind of with his life story?
Yeah, I mean, he's just been through so much and he's overcome so much, and it's making, you know, just like anybody that's in the NFL, you have that story, and it you know, makes you who you are. And I think, you know, specifically about Patrick, everything that he had to go through to get to where he was and to be the human being that he is, and that drive and determination, I think it really shaped him, obviously, as a human being, but also as a player. And he was able to, you know, train all that and become, you know, just one of the absolute greatest players that I've ever got the opportunity to play with.
What was it like going up against him in practice, Joe?
He talked a lot, honestly.
Really?
He's a big trash talker at practice. And it was also like where it was like he just never could admit that someone got the upper hand on anything. So, like, if we as an offense were going against the ones versus ones and, you know, get a little competitive or something, and we feel like, you know, we move the ball, we scored or whatever, he would have some, you know, nonsense thing that he'd be making up, like, oh, no, we had you this way, we were just trying out something else. And I don't know, he was very, very competitive, incredibly competitive, as is a lot of, like, guys that are high-level NFL players. Big surprise, they're very competitive. But he was, for sure, fun to go against, trash talker, which is surprising, I think, to a lot of people. But just incredibly competitive, and made it fun. And he definitely, like, every practice session, which was great for the team, is why I say he was a great leader, was like every practice session, whether it be, you know, week three of training camp and everybody's tired, it was like the most serious thing in the world. And he approached it like that, and he got everybody else to see the same way. So he was definitely one of the guys that was a catalyst for that, our resurgence there in the mid. You know, sorry about Aaron.
We got Joe Staley on with us, one of the greatest offensive linemen in 49er history. We're talking about Patrick Willis, who was inducted into the 49er Hall of Fame. I mean, you and Pat went through so many different coaches, so many different quarterbacks, scheme changes, all this craziness, and you finally have an opportunity to win a Super Bowl. And the defense was just absolutely loaded. Patrick was one of the centerpieces of that defense. How much does it hurt you guys? Because I think it's so absurd that people look at your entire career and think, well, they didn't win a Super Bowl. You, Justin Smith, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Navarro Bowman. And I just think it's so unfair. Do you guys talk about it that way? Or is it just one of those games you'd rather not talk about?
No, we talk about it. But it's, you know, more of this kind of talk about, like, can you believe we didn't win one? Because we felt like we were by far one of the most talented teams in that time, you know, for sure. We had those three NFC championship game appearances. You know, we just had some heartbreaking losses there. You know, the overtime, the Giants, obviously the Super Bowl coming up about 7 yards short. And then the next year we had that, you know, final play against Seattle in Seattle. And we just kind of just looking back, being like, can you believe that team never got a ring? You know, it is what it is. I mean, people will get judged based off of accolades and stuff. And,
right.
But, you know, the Super Bowl is such more than just an individual thing. It's the team. It's the culmination of everything. And then, obviously, they would love to have won a Super Bowl. And I think everybody that was on those teams obviously would say that they would love to have won a Super Bowl. But, you know, I don't think, for me personally, and I would like to speak for other guys too, but I don't want to, but, you know, for me personally, I don't look back at those and saying, like, what a career unfulfilled. You know,
right.
I think we had great rides and we had great times and we gave everything we had. And so we don't have anything that we look back on and say, you know, I'm not fulfilled. We're going to win a Super Bowl. But it is definitely a little bit like, damn, you know.
Yeah.
One of those situations.
It's criminal. I'm going to be real with you because, like, you guys all deserve it. And it's the one thing that just drives me nuts that you don't have that cherry on the top for your careers.
Yeah. Well, had two opportunities and didn't get it done for whatever reason. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, a lot of people would have looked at you, Willis, Gore, Justin Smith, Navarro Bowman, so much differently. You had you got that one Super Bowl ring. Speaking of Super Bowls, your last game was in Super Bowl 54. We know how close you guys were to that. Have you watched that game back? Have you talked to Shanahan about it? Did you talk about it over the weekend with Kyle Shanahan, Super Bowl 54 against Kansas City?
Yeah, it comes up. I watched it. It's not like something that's like some painful memory, you know. Obviously, right. It's a game. Would love to have won that game, but you know, for me, I just always want to kind of, even though it was my last game too. You know, kind of looking back and watching it and see like, well, you know, why did we not get it done? You know, what happened? What were the turning points? You know, I think one of the turning points is that Nick Bosa never got called for holding.
Thank you. No, that third and 15, Joe, I swear to God, I'm watching the game last night on the NFL Network, and the Chiefs didn't get called for one hold the whole game.
One time. He held them like 30 times.
Thank you.
But you know what's cold, Joe, is that Kansas City was called for so many holds since here against Tampa Bay. Holding. It's like, yep. Hey, refs, you're a year late.
I'm back. But, yeah, I mean, it was yeah, it comes up, but it was, that's what it is.
Well, Joe, I want to look to the future because everybody's seen your incredible weight loss. Congratulations on that. You're looking awesome. I'm sure you feel great as well. We're seeing a number of San Francisco Giants have kind of career years, Buster Posey, Brandon Crawford, and we're wondering, I mean, you're only 36, Joe. You started as a tight end. George Kittle, Joe Stanley. No? Are you sure?
Yeah. I mean, if I retired because I just retired, you know, I would never kind of like maybe shut that out.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I had to retire because of my neck. And
yeah.
There's not any way that I'd be coming back. You know, I lost the weight to kind of take the stress off of that and just to feel healthier and stuff. But, you know, it's still something I definitely notice every single day. And I think just getting back into football and hitting my head again, that would be detrimental. So.
Yeah, it would have been fun to see you as tight end number two or something, or tight end number three behind Ross Dwelly and George Kittle.
I'm coming for George's job. If I'm coming back, I'm coming to start.
Exactly. Hey, man, that's what I'm saying. Tight end three, Vontae. He's tight end one, right there. Come on.
I'm trying to ease Joe in, man. Maybe 15, 20 snaps. Play some red zone snaps, man. Run some bootlegs down in the red zone. Let me ask you this, Joe, because you play for – both style of quarterbacks when it comes to the mobile quarterback and a pocket quarterback. What's easier to block for? Because we're going to see here in training camp with Trey Lance now, the number three overall pick, and Jimmy Garoppolo, of course, coming back. Yeah. And everybody's getting all over Jimmy. For you, what was, I guess it's easier is not the word, but what was more challenging to block for? Was it the off-script quarterback where they could take off a run right away, or was it the pocket guy where you knew they were going to deliver the ball inside of that pocket?
I mean, first, like, as an offensive lineman, I was never concerned with, like, you know, who was back there, and, like, I got to block a different – the job is always the same. You're going to block right. The same way that you do, regardless if it's a pocket passer, a mobile quarterback, someone that can win with those legs or not. I would say, I mean, obviously, probably the answer is the easier one to block for is a guy that can run a little bit, you know, because if you do get in trouble, I mean, there were so many times that Colin just got us out of – you know, some bad blocks and bad situations just because he was able to get out of that pocket back there and use his legs a little bit. But, you know, they both have, you know, positives as well, I guess. You know, the guy that's in the pocket can really step up. It's all really about the presence. It's not so much about the legs and right. The movement and the speed and all that stuff. It's more about, like, the presence of mind and knowing when to step up and, you know, how to get that throw off without having his legs completely set. And, you know, I think Jimmy does a tremendous job of that.
I was just going to ask, Joe, what Jimmy's presence was like in that huddle when he came
up. He's really good, like, in the pocket. I mean, Jimmy always had a good feel of, like, when to step up, where to step up. You know, Jimmy is really good with getting that, you know, release point off and still making an accurate pass, even though, you know, sometimes there's some trash around his feet. And, you know, Jimmy's really good. So it's not always just about, like, the mobile, you know, being able to use your legs and get out of crap that way. It's also being able to, I mean, Tom Brady's a perfect example. He's one of the slowest quarterbacks in history, but he's also one of the greatest quarterbacks in history as far as stepping up in the pocket. And he is the greatest quarterback that I've seen play. You know, I know a lot of fans of the Niners will say Joe Montana. But,
Joe Staley with us again, 49er legend, talking about Patrick Willis, his own career. We're going all over the place. Let's go back to Willis for just a second. Patrick Willis was outstanding by himself. Obviously, him and Tequio were a great duo for a short time. And then him and Navarro Bowman as a duo. To me, like, that changed the game and how the modern NFL is played, where you have linebackers who are taking on fullbacks but can cover sideline to sideline, can cover tight ends, can cover running backs out in the flat. The two of them playing together. Is there ever going to be another pairing like that?
Yeah, I mean, when they were in their prime and they were both, you know, hitting on all cylinders, they were as exciting to watch as anybody. What was fun, too, to watch was the competitive nature between the two of them, and they really pushed each other, because they're both coming in their own. They're both kind of getting, I think Patrick already was, Navarro was starting to get talked about as he's the best linebacker, and so that pushes Patrick a little more, and then Patrick's pushing Navarro. It was just unbelievable. I think they were so beneficial for each other's careers because of that internal competition that they had within our own team. And then they were also just so special what they did.
So, Joe, your favorite, you probably got a bunch of them, but one of your favorite plays, whether it's catching a pass, but it's got to be the Alex Smith play, right? The run left, your lead blocker, and you guys end up taking the lead against New Orleans. That game goes back and forth in the final couple minutes. But let's go to Patrick Willis's biggest play, because you're always on the sideline. Maybe you're prepping with the offense and figuring things out. Was there a singular play, the Brad Smith hit, the interception in Seattle? Is there a singular play that sticks out that you would point to and say, that's the play that defines Patrick Willis?
That one was awesome just because I remember it like it was yesterday, because I was watching that one and it was like right in front of us where we were on the sideline. And it's just the hit, and then the way that he fell, Brad Smith fell, and then the emotion that Patrick showed, it was just like, it was kind of like an I've arrived moment, I guess, for him, where everybody was like, all right, this guy. But there were so many. I mean, there was times there was just like timely plays that he would have, like these delayed blitzes that he would have. I remember he had a huge game against the Giants, a bunch of plays there. You put me on the spot as far as specific plays, but that Brad Smith one was pretty crazy. I always remember that one.
Honestly, all the different changes you guys went through, head coaching changes, all this quarterback drama, 8,000 offensive and defensive coordinators. How did your, like, that crew, you, Willis, Frank Gore, Justin Smith, how come none of you guys ever just lashed out a little, let out a little bit of emotion or frustration? Because it seemed like you guys were so classy, and you just kind of put your hard hats down, and you went to work every single day.
I mean, shoot, for me personally, I didn't know any better, I didn't know anything different. I kind of came into a situation where we had a lot of turnover and turmoil and not a lot of success, and we were trying our best to try to figure out the recipe to get a change. And so there was, we didn't have time to do that. We had to work. And I think a lot of us, the same people, we, instead of looking out and being like, how come someone else isn't fix this, we all kind of wanted to fix it ourselves. And so how we do that is that we work. And so we're all kind of wired the same way that way. And we weren't going to make a distraction just because, things were going well with what, we wanted to have happen. We, kind of took it upon ourselves to change it ourselves and continue to work and not make a, at the time, bad situation worse by creating a huge distraction that way.
Joe, I know you just retired. You lost a bunch of weight. You look great. You got a flight to catch in about. I know you guys are going to leave in about 10 minutes. But what's next for Joe Staley? What's next for Joe Staley, real quick? What is it? Coaching? Is it just playing more golf? What is next for Joe Staley in his professional career?
Well, possibly. You might be seeing me up there. I don't know yet. I'm still working out some things. I know Kyle was trying to get me up there, work on the staff, but I'm not ready to do the coaching thing yet. I'm really honestly just enjoying the time that I have with my family right now. I have two young girls, 7 and 4, and we're enjoying spending a ton of time together. I'm catching up all the time I missed playing football, and I'm not in a huge hurry to get back into some. I have my hands in a lot of different things, but nothing that's,
No doubt.
Nothing that's overwhelming and anything. Right. So it's all stuff I'm getting to choose to do, and stuff that I'm I'm looking forward to doing so.
Well, I was going to say, if Jim Harbaugh called you to coach, just hang up the phone. You don't need to go back to Michigan.
No, me and Jim are good guys.
I know you are. I know you are, but you don't need to go to Ann Arbor. Stay here in the Bay Area.
One big game to win it all. Jim Harbaugh or Kyle Shanahan?
Oh.
One big game to win it all?
Yeah.
I'm going Kyle.
Hey, Joe, with that said, man, get out of here, man. Safe travels. Thank you so much for joining the roast today, Jim. Man. Take care.
Yep, appreciate it.
No problem. Joe Staley, 49ers legend, 13 seasons with the San Francisco 49ers. Joe Staley here, talking about Patrick Willis, talking about the Super Bowls, Justin Smith, Gore. And if he had one game to win, he's taking Shanahan over Jim Harbaugh. Wow.
I mean, I think that's a really interesting question. I really do. Like, I think we dismiss how many big games Harbaugh won.
Wow.
And Shanahan's still in the middle of what he's doing with the 49ers right now. You can't look at the body of work of Harbaugh and dismiss him, though. I mean, I know people, oh, he didn't win the big one. He won a lot of big games. What an interview with Joe Staley.
Kate, Jim Harbaugh, Kyle Shanahan, 888-957-9570. That's where I'm going. You have a big game to win.
I'm more excited about what he said at the end, saying, well, Kyle's trying to get me back up to Santa Clara, boys. That's what we were talking about before we came into it.
Yeah, maybe there's something
other. You guys are not as excited. Harbaugh and Shanny. Go ahead.
He may be doing some other things up here in the Bay Area. He may be doing some other things. Doesn't sound like coaching is in his immediate future, but Shanahan is trying to get him up there, and it's great to see his relationship with Kyle Shanahan. Great to hear him talk about Patrick Willis, but I'm... Now he's got me triggered because Niner season's coming up. Training camp's opening up by the end of the month. And I don't know if I'll take Kyle Shanahan over Jim Harbaugh in a big game. Wow.
Let's put that in the Tupperware for the time being because I do want to get back to it. The one thing, because we had him on to talk about Patrick Willis. Yeah. He only wanted to come on to talk about Willis. And that's why we kind of spent the bulk of that interview discussing Patrick Willis. And I think the common thread between Justin Smith, Frank Gore, Joe Staley, Patrick Willis, and a lot of the guys from that era is like the hard hat nature with which they conducted themselves. And I just look at what's going on in pro sports in general. And I'm not saying whether it's right or wrong. The eras are just so different. Could you imagine that era of 49ers coming out and doing what James Harden did? And I'm just using him as an example for, you know, I'm frustrated. We're losing. We're going through 7,000 quarterbacks. Get me out of here. How many players? Julio Jones, right? You know, he wanted out of Atlanta and boom, he's gone. These guys stayed so loyal to the 49ers. Now, Frank Gore ended up moving on and going to another team. Smith retires. Obviously, Patrick Willis ends up retiring because their bodies physically couldn't play anymore. But these guys all had that common thread of just going to work every single day. And I think that we just, not that that athlete doesn't exist anymore, but that mentality has changed so much in professional sports. I can't go back to that team enough because of their hardworking nature. I love everything about that squad.
Well, and it's so interesting because, right, the outside looking in, when you look at the Bay Area, that's not the stereotype of the Bay Area, right? But so often, whether it's with the 49ers, whether it's with the Giants and the Misfits, like that is what a lot of fans really connect to. Mm-hmm. And regardless of when it happens and what sport it happens in, it just seems like whenever you get back to that lunch pail mentality, we're just going to put our heads down and work, it leads to success. So,
no, that core group started by Justin Smith coming over from Cincinnati is an underrated free agent signing. Didn't know much about him when he signed. I know he went to Missouri and was a Bengal, but didn't really know much about him. And he comes over, and as you said, Joe, they don't really complain going through all the different coordinators, all the different head coaches. And that's why I give Jim Harbaugh a lot of credit, because if it wasn't for him, some of those things may have happened where Joe Staley's saying, I want out. Justin Smith saying, I want out. He made these guys love football again. Mm-hmm. I don't think Jim Harbaugh gets enough credit for that. Everybody's just dousing gasoline all over him because of the way it ended and what's going on in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Harbaugh got these guys to believe and love football again. And maybe some of those things happen if Singletary stays on, Tom Sula gets extended, or you get some other lame duck head coach. So hold your thoughts, Shasky. Yeah. We got to take a break here, and this is what's coming up on the game, brought to you by the Department of Healthcare Services. More talk about Joe Staley, Patrick Willis of the 49ers. Plus, we'll get into some Giants baseball. I'm a little worried about them, Kate. They are leaking oil. I'll tell you why I'm worried about them coming up here on The Roast.
Now, back to The Morning Roast. presented by Timeless Coffee.
Hey, we've missed you guys, man. So pumped to see you guys in Levi's again this year. Hey, on that note, let's get this started. Drivers! Start your engines!
With Kate, Bonte, and Shasky.
It's Kyle Shanahan up in Sonoma Raceway. Up there in Napa, Sonoma. Drivers! Start your engines!
Gets me every time.
And we just had his former player on, Joe Staley, who was hanging out with Shanahan, throwing balls into a bucket across the street, living his best life. Kate Shanahan.
Into a pizza oven,
into
Bonte.
A pizza
not
oven.
Into a bucket.
Pizza oven. Shanahan showing up. And that's the thing with Shanahan. He loves to show off his arm. At practice, you see him playing quarterback. There is a thing that he believes he's the best quarterback on a roster. He thinks he's better than Trey Lance.
So did Harbaugh. I remember before games, Harbaugh would wear cleats, and he'd be in the khakis, and he would be taking snaps under center. Look,
hypotheticals.
This is nothing new. All right, this is nothing new. I've seen Stan Van Gundy dribbling a basketball on the at practice. Like, all coaches at some point were either players or thought that they could still play at some level. So this is nothing new. This isn't exclusive to Kyle Shanahan.
No doubt. But it's still funny to see a head coach get out there, even with Harbaugh. Like, it was whenever you saw photos of, like, Michael Crabtree catching a pass or Anquan Boldin catching a pass, you see Harbaugh right there, stride for stride, looking at the khakis. It's like, dude, take a playoff, Harbaugh. Like, you don't see Belichick doing that anymore, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, Andy Reid. Let me see Andy Reid in this Hawaiian shirt go out there and play quarterback. Hey, Mahomes, this is how you do it here. But Shanahan and company.
I watched that game again last night.
I know. Why are you doing that, Joe?
I love Andy Reid, but man.
Masochist, Joe. When you text us, you were watching it again. Why do you do it, Shasky? Why?
Because misery loves company. And I was sitting there and I wanted to watch the game. Look, the Niners had that game. All right, I'm talking about Super Bowl, whatever.
54.
54. Thank you. I was trying to think what the name of it was. Against the Kansas City Chiefs. They had Mahomes stifled. They had him completely shook, and one play changed the entire course of the game. I didn't realize that they replayed the Tyreek Hill. He catches it. Shanahan throws a challenge, okay?
Yep.
And then during the challenge, Reed and Mahomes come together, and there's the offensive coordinator whose name's evading me.
Oh, Eric Bieniemy.
Eric Bieniemy, and he goes, all right, let's run this particular play. Forget what it's called that they run. And that was the play that ended up being this, I'm going to roll out to the left, I'm going to turn around, I'm going to fire it deep to Tyreek Hill. And they know it's a long developing play. They wanted to get to it at some point, but because Mahomes told Eric Bieniemy, let's run this play right now, because of the challenge play, they ran that play. And that was the play that Staley's talking about, where Bosa's getting held, and literally you're just getting held the whole play, and I'm watching it, and Jimmy Ward's falling asleep, Emmanuel Mosley's falling asleep, Tyreek Hill just gets unbelievable separation because no one even breathes on him, and he's wide open, and that singular play changed the game. And Kelsey said in real time, they knew it was a momentum changer.
Oh, it was. I remember sitting on this couch here getting ready for the post-game show, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm talking under my breath, Kate, while everybody's going crazy around here.
All the time.
Hey, 30-15, just one play.
Thank God Shasky's with me. He carries me. Just one play.
Just one play. That day, yeah. One play. But seriously, not only that play, but there's a pass interference on Tarvarius Moore later on that drive.
Where he goes straight up, and Kelsey and him, and he puts the knee into Kelsey's groin.
It was on 3rd and 10. And that gave Kansas City a first down 100%. Inside the 5-yard line. And then that's when they started cooking Richard Sherman. So, yeah, I watched the Super Bowl over. I watched it about 10 times. I watched the Ravens Super Bowl during the pandemic. I still watched the NFC Championship game between the Giants and the Niners when Joe Montana got hurt. I can't watch the wins, but I will go back and watch the losses all day long. And Joe Staley said, yeah, we've watched it. We've talked about it. We've done this. And, you know, you don't really get over it. But hearing Shanahan coming into the segment, it just dawned on me like, man, this is a big year for Shanahan and the 49ers. A monster season for this crew.
This will be, this year that he coaches, one game, will be the most a coach has coached since Mariucci for the 49ers. Say that out loud. This will be the most a coach has coached for the 49ers since Steve Mariucci. We're going back 20 full years. I mean, this is, it's kind of crazy. I mean, it really is. It's kind of crazy.
And do you hope it's the beginning still of his tenure? Do you hope it's the middle of his
No, this
tenure?
Is the prove me point of his. This is the Missouri State. You need to like show me and prove it to me now. You need to make the playoffs 3, 4, 5 years in a row.
Yeah.
Like you have a core of players that are in their primes. Yep. Mm-hmm. You have an offensive line that I think can have a nice 2 or 3 year run here. All right. Mm-hmm. You have a young quarterback in the waiting. You have a solid seasoned veteran in Jimmy Garoppolo. There's no excuses. I know you have a new defensive coordinator. There are no excuses anymore. And Joe Staley saying without hesitation that he would take Kyle Shanahan over Harbaugh. Like, Joe knows what he's talking about. I'm going to defer to Joe on this one.
Yeah, he knows what he's talking about. And I still may disagree with Joe Staley on
really?
That when it comes to big games, because the Jim Harbaugh 49ers played in big games. I've seen them go to New England on Sunday Night Football and put it
game.
On the Patriots. I've seen them go down to the Superdome and beat the Saints with Colin Kaepernick playing his first road game. I've seen them, yeah, they lost 3 straight NFC championships. But think about that. He went to 3 straight NFC championships in his first 3 seasons. Now people say, oh, well, you came to a team with talent. Nobody thought those 49er teams were ready to go to the NFC Championship when Jim Harbaugh came aboard here. So I'm with Shasky here, and I've been on this train for a while. It's time for Shanahan and company to prove it. When I see what's going on in L.A. with Sean McVay and company, when I see what's going on in Seattle with Pete Carroll and company, I'm telling you, they've had more success. You can't dispute that. He's got Cliff Kingsbury.
Is that
I'm not worried
Vontae
about.
Went over the holiday? He's saying he went to Calistoga, but is that code for Los Angeles and just hanging
maybe.
Out with McVay?
I did see the Aaron Donald. I cleaned out my trunk in the car, yeah. And the Aaron Donald jersey is just sitting right there in the trunk.
I say we give
got a
that
Rams
away.
Jersey.
We give that away this year. I think during the regular season
sure.
We'll give that away to a displaced L.A. Rams fan. What do you guys think?
Sure, I'm saying it's a big year for the Rams, and they're feeling good with Matthew Stafford. With that said,
jersey
this
good
year, it did look good. I make everything look good. Don't I, Kate? Blue, yellow, red.
Yeah,
I'm just good.
You totally
I just got swag, that's
mm-hmm.
all. You know, not everybody can rock it like me. But, no, seriously, it's a big year for like Jimmy Garoppolo with his Trey Lance thing. You got Trent Williams back. You brought in Alex Mack. You bring in those guys. It's telling me that, hey, we want to do big things here in San Francisco, and if Shanahan doesn't get it done, doesn't get this team to the playoffs, I'm going to have a lot of questions about Kyle Shanahan.
I don't think you will be the only one, Bonte. I think yep. folks, all of last season, I mean, how many calls did we take? How many texts did we read about people saying, why is this all on Jimmy Garoppolo? I'm looking dead on at Kyle Shanahan. Mm. He's the coach. Why isn't he getting any of the shade mm-hmm. or the credit? It's time that we focus on Shanahan. So I think you're right there. I mean, we've been talking about it. We're going to keep talking about it all offseason long until that first game against the Detroit. Bite a kneecap Lions. Trap game, right? Week one.
Have you seen her?
In Detroit.
Have you heard from Dan Campbell?
Yeah, he's nuts.
He's a walking soundbite.
We're going to bite a kneecap off.
He's a psychopath.
There's more. He walked up to the podium with the helmet on. Yeah. Last week he said something else. Like, what did he say about not holding people's hands or something like that? I'm not going to wipe their butts. This dude is off the chain, man.
You know, on the other side, I got something about Jimmy Garoppolo that I know we're talking about Kyle Shanahan thinking he's the quarterback. But the guy who is the current starting quarterback, I assume, Jimmy Garoppolo, watching that game last night, the stats don't tell what the tape was telling me. Mm. And I want to talk about it on the other side. I do.
We want to get into this? It's about to get spicy. It's about to get spicy because I already know where this is going. And I already know guys are going to cape up for Kyle Shanahan. That's coming up on the other side as this segment was presented by Go to State Lumber. Open from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday with some locations open on a Saturday. Visit GoToStateLumber.com for more information.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.